The oldest feminist bookstore in the country, right here in Atlanta, is seeking a buyer for its building. Karis Books and More has operated in its current space in Little Five Points for 22 of its 41 years. WABE's Kate Sweeney sat down with Elizabeth Anderson to get the lowdown on the changes coming to Karis and about what it means to be a feminist bookstore today when numbers of feminist bookstores across the country are dwindling. Anderson directs Karis Circle, the bookstore's partner nonprofit organization, and Kate began by asking her to explain exactly what they do.
Karis is actually two organizations, and that's Karis Books and Karis Circle. The bookstore's been around 41 years. When did Karis Circle start?
We started the nonprofit in 1996, so this is our 20th year as a nonprofit. What we do at Karis Circle is a combination of what you'd expect from a traditional bookstore programming entity, like poetry readings, book clubs, writing groups, things like that. And then we have a social justice component. So we do a lot of things with various community groups that are working on anti-racist initiatives, you know, Black Lives Matter organizers, things like that. We work a lot with parents who are trying to figure out how to raise their children in the world that we're living in right now. A lot of what we think about is like how to have more options and more resources in your life, because a lot of what we think about is both book lovers and as feminists is that like information and resources are sort of these magic golden things. And if people had more information, more option and more resources, they can make better choices.
So why look at selling now?
We just don't feel like owning our building is as much of an asset. You know, people love to fund new things. They don't really love to fund long-term institutions. People start to take for granted the idea that, oh, well, you've been there for 41 years, you'll be there forever. So part of what we're looking at is what would it mean to partner with other institutions to look at different ways to be an arts and culture space that just does not own its own building.
So what form do you see Karis taking?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there have been so many pop-ups that are sort of one-and-done projects, right, that are like, we're going to come in, we're going to do this thing. You know, when the Beltline was getting established, there were, like, pop-up shops along the Beltline, arts installation pieces that are ephemeral in some ways. Somebody has to provide the scaffolding for a lot of those projects to exist, and we are a place where a lot of Atlanta artists and activists and writers come to get their sustenance so they can go out and do really interesting, creative, more ephemeral work in the city. And so we're just trying to figure out how you do that, how you survive as an institution while you're supporting the work of other people.
So as Karis Books and Karis Circle moves into this new phase, how do you see it operating?
Well, we are looking at a lot of institutional partnerships. Part of where we are in this moment is that we have several different paths that all are good paths that might all work out, but they're all sort of in midstream right now. So we don't have a single path that we are like, we're definitely going to do this in the next 6 months. We're really interested in collaborative partnerships. We work with academics, we work with activists, and we work with artists. So there are ways in which we could go down any of those three paths and still do all pieces of that work, but be housed in a different way with an institution that is more aligned in one direction or another. We also are talking to folks who might be interested in owning our building and letting us stay in it, or investing in our building as a Little Five Points artist and activist space that allows us to stay in it, but that brings some new additional tenants into that building.
So, I mean, as you've said, you know, Karis holds the distinction of being the longest running feminist bookstore in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't very many left. I mean, is there a reason to worry? Does this announcement, should people worry about Karis and its well-being?
No. So we, no matter what path we take, we will have a bookstore, we will remain a public feminist space, and we will have programming. So those are the three promises that we're making to our constituents and our customers. And we really feel excited and proud of what it means to be the oldest continually operating feminist bookstore in the country, in North America, actually, because now we're older than any of the ones in Canada, and that we're in Georgia.
You know, in some ways, as I was hearing you talk, I was thinking, you know, I said, oh, oldest feminist bookstore in the country. And he said, well, now actually we're the oldest feminist bookstore in North America. And your one sort of knee-jerk reaction at first might be to say, oh, yes. But then you think about it, actually, that's not great news because it means another feminist bookstore somewhere has closed. The fact that we have been seeing these closures of feminist bookstores around the country, I mean, is that sort of another reason like, oh, we need to look for a new model of doing this?
So there are a couple. There are many different ways to think about it. A lot of people think that the feminist bookstore movement must have peaked in the 70s or 80s. And it actually peaked in the mid-1990s, which is when I came into it. I didn't know when I got involved at Caris as a teenager that that was the apex. I think about how many staff people we had, how many resources we had, the kind of money that we had coming into the doors. At that moment, there were about 120 feminist bookstores in the U.S. and Canada. Now there are 12 or 13, depending on how people self-identify. So sometimes, you know, one of the other things about counting is that people sort of move in and out of identification with feminism as it is commercially beneficial. So not to be petty, but one of the things that I think is important and valuable about what we do is that we've always been a feminist bookstore, not a women's bookstore. We've always been open to all people who are interested in learning more about feminism. We've always tried to espouse a big tent, and we've never shied away from feminism, even when it has not been a politically super great term for a lot of people. What's interesting right now in this moment in 2016 is that feminism is sort of on the rise in popular culture. People are using the word feminist to describe themselves in a way that has not happened as freely for a decade or more. Young people are really excited about feminism again. Young people of all genders are really excited about feminism again. And pop culture stars are talking about feminism. So when I think about what we need to do to stay relevant, it actually has very little to do with feminism and everything to do with book culture. You can get everything on the internet, but you can't get it well curated. A lot of what we do is spend a ton of time looking at what's out there and what's really going to meet people's needs. It's like people come in crying and are like, I need this thing. I just found out that my child has been molested. I just found out that, you know, my wife is going to leave me. I just found out that, you know, my mother is dying. And so we get to hold these very important experiences for people. And I think even though we are a specialty store, I think a lot of booksellers, if you ask them, would say like, yeah, I hear some stuff, you know.
Do you have any kind of timeline as for when you know when the store is moving or exactly what the changes will look like?
So the building is on the market. We're entertaining offers, and we don't know what we're doing yet. That's not because we have not had a million and one meetings with people all over the city. It's actually because we have an abundance of good opportunities. So that's what I want people to know. All of the measurements that we use to determine our health as a for-profit and as a nonprofit are great. My assumption and my hope and my best guess is that by the end of 2016, we will be firmly in our next iteration. And as soon as we know more, we'll share more.
All right. Elizabeth Anderson, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.